Sunday skate. That is the final call of the Bruins 3-2 overtime loss to the Anaheim Ducks. Last night at TD Garden, first game back from the Four Nations break. I'm your host, Scott McLaughlin, with Andrew Razor Raycroft, Bridget Prue, Jacob Lassner behind the glass. We are going to talk Four Nations because that was awesome, even though USA ultimately came up just short to Razor's Canada.
I want to know, Razor, this week, are you Canadian or are you American?
Going into the tournament, especially World Juniors, even more so, like, it kind of started in World Juniors in my house, is that I have three American kids that like hockey and watch hockey and especially know who everybody is. So I had to stand my ground in my own household. Fortunately, Four Nations was a little different because I was working, so it's a little less biased. I was able to just kind of watch and didn't have the opportunity to actually be a fan like some people did.
So you didn't, like, get up and scream when Connor McDavid scored?
No, I was
no,
just...
No, other Canadian media did that.
There was a lot of Canadian media doing that. Yeah, it's hard to, I guess, it's hard to understand when you're big brother at times what little brother feels like, especially that Canadian media that was down here the last week. So, but for me personally, I was really down the line. I'm so pumped that the NHL got the love that it did this week. And really, I would have been good. There's so many, I could go on about for 15 minutes about why I could cheer for both teams. But at the end of the day, it was just awesome to see so many people from the hockey world in Boston all week. You guys saw it. Like, it was who's who everywhere. And that was pretty cool for the city.
I was standing waiting to go into the U.S. locker room after the game, and Wayne Gretzky's standing next to me. And I'm like, well, this is a moment.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. And he just was, you know, he had his Canada hat on, and then to be respectful, when he walked by, he took it off so that he didn't want to, like, show.
Wayne's
the best. Didn't want to, like, put it in anyone's face. I thought that was interesting. But it was awesome. And I thought that a lot of the guys after the game showed a lot of respect for Team USA. I know that they all realize how close that rivalry is and how close those two teams are to each other. And the Olympics is going to be incredible next year.
It was an incredible showcase for hockey and for those two countries especially and those two teams. You're right, like, razor thin margin, no pun intended.
Yeah, Razor, but, no.
The two games. The first game, it's a bad change leads to the winning goal. The second game, it's Austin Matthews miscommunication or messing up his coverage or whatever. Just the one breakdown that leads Connor McDavid open. Like that. That's it. That's the difference between these two teams right now.
And you could play five more games and you would have the same outcome either way. Razor thin. It would go to game seven. Like it. That's what's so fun, and you're right. That's what, man, they're going to sell the Olympics, boy. They are going to lean into this for the next 12 months, and we are going to hear a lot about Olympic hockey, and it's going to be, as we know, what NBC does to sports and people that are going into the Olympics. I mean, we are going to get our fill of NHL hockey players being promoted and talked about leading into this Olympics like we've never seen before.
Yeah, where are we getting our Airbnb?
I can't wait for you to negotiate, Ken, with that one.
Yeah. I think maybe like somewhere on Lake Como. It's about a half hour north.
Good
would
luck.
Be great.
Well, no, go to Cortina. So I've been in that. I lived in all that. You got to do the Cortina games. Skip the Milano games. Go to the Cortina games.
But all the hockey's going to be in Milan, though.
Are they not going to play any up top?
I don't think so.
Even if it's like the lower level, just find a way to Cortina.
Hopefully they work to make sure that we get these games at a reasonable time in North America and aren't like, you know, throwing them at like 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific or something.
It's not going to matter for me. I'm going to be there. So.
It's tough for the European time. I mean, the latest, you're playing games at 9 o'clock. It's going to be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was going to be a lot of afternoon games. Yeah. It's hard not to.
Yeah, I was watching the Russia games back when it was in Sochi at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, well, Sochi's much worse. Europe's at least close, but you're still going to have to take time off during the day.
Yeah, so we are definitely going to do quite a bit of Four Nations today. I do want to start in this first segment on last night's Bruins game because they are back, and we've all been saying, like, they need to come out of this break, hit the ground running if they're going to prove anything before the trade deadline. They now have just 6 games to go before March 7th. And instead, the Bruins get off to an awful start. Terrible first period, fall behind 2-0, gave up 17 shots. They do battle back. They force overtime, get a point, but lose in overtime on Leo Carlson's winner. So, guys, how do you feel coming out of that game? Is that, hey, they battled back, got a point, or, man, they really needed to, and there's just no excuse, no sugarcoating this one?
Well, kind of like we talked about Canadian-American politics. I think we're at a point here where people have put their flag in the ground on this team as well, and people are basically deciding that prior to the game or as soon as the outcome is. I could probably go through and decide, you know, we could already know what everybody's opinions will be of that. That's how polarizing this group has become at times. I think they work so hard. Not having their top 2D is just... It's worth half a goal a game at the end of the day, one way or the other, right? And all of these close games, it's just they're just grinding. I thought, you know, we watched last night and we're talking about how much they understand how important it is to come back in this game. You can see the urgency. You can see how hard they're working. And they got good opportunities where they could have probably built on the lead early. They're halfway through the first and then later in the second. But I'm still of the I still can't. Okay, so this is my hockey player hat on. I can't get it out of my head that I'm only 1 point out of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm 1 point away with 24 games left for competing for the Stanley Cup. So there's no way in any universe that I'm thinking that we're out of this and that we're not hitting the ground running and that's not a big point last night to find a way to chip ourselves into that situation. So again, I'm the positive guy. I'm the one who's trying to find hope in all of this and the one who has to, you know, thinking about the guys having to go to the rink and work through this and that I'm 1 point out of the playoff spot right now. So I think it's a good comeback. I think Joe Sacco said as much after that. Of course, the start stunk. The last 3 minutes of that first period, they were lucky it wasn't 3-0 somehow, but they did battle back and being down 2-0 in this league and coming back and getting points is always difficult.
Yeah, and I'm like somewhere in the middle, and I'm pretty sure Scott's negative on this one. I see the evil smile going on over there. But I mean, I think that, yeah, it was a tough start. They battled back. Morgan Geeky played really well. They end up counting that goal. Luckily, they took away the goaltender interference call, and they I thought they got
whole,
it right. Right
that's
there,
a whole segment. Yeah, 100%. I can't believe that the ref on the ice actually called that goalie interference. I was shocked.
And so
we're in big trouble. Playoffs have big trouble if the refs are looking for that out on the ice now. But sorry to interrupt.
It's okay. I was broadcasting the BU women's game yesterday, and the UConn goalie got absolutely trucked. No call. No arm up. It was just like I felt so bad for her. She got ran over. But yeah, totally different. In the NHL, Elias Lindholm makes the slightest little push and then gets out of the way, and they called it. But whatever. It ends up being the game-tying goal. And then they lose in overtime. They've struggled in overtime the whole year. I think that the point that they missed out on was an important point because that would have put them in a tie in the wild card. And every point is valuable, especially with, 24 games left and very close to the trade deadline. But Scott, Mr. Negative over here.
So I understand that they're only a point out and – obviously, that's legit. And for a player, I get that as long as they're that close, they're not giving up. Totally understandable. I think as the front office, you have to take a more critical look at whether this team can make a run. Because the goal shouldn't just be, can we make the playoffs? It's, can we make a run? And that's where I'm left searching for something to grasp onto. Because I don't think there's been any signs from this team this year that it's a team that can make a run. The base stats, you know, the goal differential, goals scored, goals allowed, power play, penalty kill, all of it is bad. The underlying analytics aren't encouraging. There's really nothing there that would make you say, okay, well, if their luck turns in this department, they'll look better. And then you add on to it the McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm injuries, which, yeah, you know, the Charlie McAvoy injury situation, like, we can get into that because there's a whole kind of debacle there where the Bruins are upset at Team USA. Regardless, he just got out of the hospital Thursday. He's in a sling. We know he's out, at least in the short term. Seems like it's going to be a little longer than that. Hampus Lindholm, there had been hope that he would be ready to go after the break. He hasn't even practiced with the team this week. So I would say that doesn't look encouraging in terms of his return being right around the corner or anything. We are going to hear from Don Sweeney today over at Warrior after Sunday's practice. So I'll be interested to see if we get any more clarity on timetables or what's going on with both of those guys. I don't see, like, this team is trying to prove to the front office that they're either worth investing in and adding to before the trade deadline, or are at least worth keeping intact. At least don't sell off pieces. Let us try to see what we can do with this group as it is. And I don't think that they're proving that. I don't think that they're giving the front office that's something to hang on, that thread to hang on to say, you know what, let's not sell, let's not retool, let's see what we've got. Like, everything to me points to retool. I'm not a tear it down person, not sell everything. I don't want that. But sell off a couple pieces that aren't going to be here next year or in the years to come and get a head start on the offseason. Because regardless of whether you're just inside the last playoff spot or a point out or a couple points out, I don't see anything that makes me believe that this team is capable of making a deep run.
So, yeah, I think that this is somewhat of a business deadline. And, I mean, you go down to the Philly Flyers, who are eighth in the wild card standings. They're only 5 points. Like, there was probably not a lot going on in the deadline. And my question to the retool. Okay, does the retool? Of course, they're not rebuilding. I mean, anybody who says that, I mean, let's have a hard stop on that. When you have this kind of players, it's just not a rebuild. It never will be. And I don't think people really know what a rebuild is here. Bruins fans definitely don't know what a rebuild is.
I hear people talk about it like it's going to be 3 or 4 years.
It's nuts.
I'm like, guys, a tear down to the studs rebuild takes a decade.
Yeah. Minimum.
Minimum.
If you're lucky. Yeah. And if you're lucky to hit on one of these players.
How's the Pats rebuild going?
Better yet, how about the Buffalo Sabres? Yeah. Detroit Red Wings.
Chicago
Ottawa
Blackhawks.
Senators,
so they got
Montreal
the,
Canadiens.
Chicago actually got lucky and got a generational talent in their draft. And they still, and they're not even close. They're actually worse than they were when they first got that generational
talent. And their veterans want out because they don't want to keep dealing with this.
Correct.
Taylor Hall wanted out. Seth Jones
Correct.
Wants out.
It's please, everybody, just please put that word away. And then, so my only, and I hear, like, there's a couple guys. You have to make decisions on a few of these players. Honestly, probably either way. Whether you're signing them or not, the few restricted or unrestricted free agent guys you have, right? You have to make that decision. They have to make that decision here in the next few days, whether they are going to sign here or stay here. If you had a Jake DeBrusk this season, that might come into play a little bit more from last year. But again, he's the kind of player where you try and sign all the way to the end. The Philip Forsbergs of the world, where you try and work all the way to the end. This year's group, I think you have to know one way or the other. And that's where I say, like, a business kind of deadline. If one of these guys says, I really want to stay here and let's get the deal done, then you get a deal done. If not, then that's when you're trading. But my only concern is I think that's going to happen. I do. If no one wants to be here next year or they can't get to the monetary number that will work for everybody, I think there will be movement on those guys. My only concern for Bruins fans is this idea that they're getting three first-round picks for these guys, that they're going to get a prospect like Connor Bedard that comes over in the deal that is going to change. Like, these are going to be third, fourth-round picks, maybe a low second-round pick at best. So these aren't NHL players that are coming back. These are like, when you say REITs, these are going to be like guys you don't hear of for three or four more years. And that's my, I don't want people to have this expectation that you're making a trade for some of these guys and getting Brady Tkachuk and a first round pick back for a guy on an expiring contract at this time of year. So when I agree with you, and I think that you can do that with also depending. Now, I'm getting long-winded now. And then depending on these two defensemen that we have that are injured, you know, they're your deadline pickups. If they can come back within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even 25 days, they could be your deadline picks for April if you stay close enough. But really, that's probably where it stands, is you're getting a third-round, first, fourth-round pick one way and maybe giving one up to get a guy on an expiring deal the other way that you think could fit into your program going forward.
So you don't think Ottawa would go for Brady Tkachuk in a first rounder for Trent Frederick?
And Justin Brazeau? No, probably not. Exactly. But that's what you know, like there is some pie in the sky Reddit boards that might try and find a way for that to work, you know?
Right. The other thing you can do is like if you're getting picks back or a young prospect or whatever, then you can potentially use that in the offseason to go make another trade and bring in someone, or even maybe before this deadline, depending on how the timing works out. So,
well, and the other part of that, right, is the cap's going up so much. Everybody's got so much money in the summer that Bruins are in a good spot because they're a team that NHL players really like to go to and will take a little less to come here, or at least will take the same amount of money and pick this spot rather than a lot of other spots. So that's the other part of this, that the retool that we talk about, I think, people here is really happening in the summer when they have a lot of money and they can spend a lot of money on things.
Yeah, and Scott, you asked one of the players on an expiring contract after the game about, you asked him, you know, what's it like to have your name in trade rumors, but he kind of got more to, I just want to be here. I don't know if we want to tease that for coming up, but
yeah, we can come out of the break with it. It was Morgan Geeky, so yeah, we'll hear from him. We do have to catch our first break here. We're off and running on Sunday Skate. Give us a call, 617-779-7937. Text us at the same number. I was reminded last week I was giving out the old text line numbers.
So oh, boy.
Bad job. Bad job by me.
Is that it's, why we weren't getting any angry
better.
Texts?
That's better.
Yeah.
No one yelling at me.
They're getting. Yeah. They're just getting a message back that says, like, invalid.
Scott's
an idiot. There's some guy, like, quit texting me on Sunday morning. Leave me alone.
All right. Okay. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Sunday Skate. That's Morgan Geeky. One of the Bruins names that has surfaced in trade rooms a little bit, just before the Four Nations break, when the Bruins played a national TV game on ABC, Emily Kaplan mentioned Geeky, Trent Frederick, and Brandon Carlo as three players that the Bruins were getting a bunch of calls on. And I think Geeky is a really interesting one because obviously he's been playing really good hockey going back to basically the start of December. Scores another goal last night, the game tying goal to send it to overtime. Had some other great chances. Looked like, you know, his timing was a little off. His scoring touch took a little while to get back. Is a restricted free agent, so there is some team control there. But I would be, you know, I think, like, you got to figure out how close you are on an extension, right? Because I don't think that's, you don't want to go like the Swayman route where you're dragging out restricted free agency and you end up either close to arbitration or it goes into preseason or whatever. Like, you want to get out ahead of this. And so I would be figuring out now, I'm sure they are, where is each side on extension talks? And if you're far apart, I think it's someone you have to listen on because he could get you quite a bit right now. The way that he's been playing, you would be really selling at a high point where he's been able to capitalize on playing with David Pastrnak and produce at a high clip for a couple months now.
Yeah, not that long ago at the trade deadline, everybody thought Jake DeBrusk was going to get traded. and then they extended him instead. It was like, it was one of those situations, like expiring contract. We figured it out that at that time, which was a surprise just because of the history with, you know, Jake DeBrusk being rumored to have wanted out and then deciding to stay. And there was some drama to that deadline for sure. Maybe you see them sign someone to an extension at the, like Morgan Geekie. I feel like he's the one that's most likely in that case because I think he's been playing really well. He just hit a new career high in goals with his goal yesterday. So he's been one of the better players paired with Pastrnak, and those two work really well together. So if you're close with him, maybe you see that happen at the deadline. But I don't know. Razor, I guess the question is, are there any Bruins that you just see not being here in a few weeks?
I don't know individually, but I feel like they're going to have to make decisions, like you said. It is interesting. The RFA part of it with Geeky does throw a wrinkle in it. Because if he was a UFA, I think it's pretty binary where it's one or the other. Because again,
that's where you are with Trent Frederick.
Correct.
Frederick is pending unrestricted free agent. Either you're getting a deal done and keeping him around, or you're probably trading him because there's no, like, I don't see value in keeping him as your quote unquote own rental.
Yeah.
Like this isn't the season to do that.
Correct. 100%. And on top of it, it's probably a little less tricky because he hasn't had a good year, unfortunately, for Trent. You know, again, when a guy has a great year like Morgan Geekie, which it's funny, doesn't he feel older? I don't know if it's the way he, like, he's a kind of an older soul. He's quiet. And he answers perfectly. Like, that was a great answer with you the other day, and I'm glad you're in there. You guys are both in there asking good questions in the dressing room.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's good. I sit in there sometimes and wonder why there aren't more questions being. But anyways, Geekie answers really well, and I'm like, it keeps missing me that he's a year younger than Trent Frederick. And I think that's, again, a good reason to find a way to get Geekie within the program because he's showing how good he is. Trent Frederick's more binary. If you can't, and he makes 2 points, like if he's willing to stay here in Boston around the same number, then it's good value the way the cap's going up, and you could probably count on that. And you never, you know, he's a first round pick of yours that you've developed to 27. You really do like to keep these guys in, but if he's moving on, you have to get something for him, even if it's a third round pick, even if it's a fourth round pick.
I don't even think it's just that he's doesn't want to sign here again. I think it's, do you see him helping you in the future? And the answer might not be yes to that either.
No, it might not be.
Because it doesn't seem to be adding too much to them this year. And if he could be that, you know, instigator kind of guy and grinding, just giving a better effort, grinding and fighting occasionally when, you know, when the team needs a little bit of momentum and playing more of that third line role that he's done in the past, then sure, there's a spot for him on the team. But how come it just went away?
Well, I think he's had a tough year. I think he's felt the pressure. I think he understood that he was coming off career highs. I think he really felt like everything was going to go great in UFA. I think he's just having a bad year and a bad couple months. And
some of those things, though, like, they're not like, it's just not going his way. You know what I mean? Like, the energy
thing is...
No,
but I'm talking about mentally. I'm talking about, like, getting up in the morning and feeling good about yourself. And, like, I think you guys see him and talk to him. He doesn't have a lot of energy, right? You know, like, he's feeling it. And when you feel it, it's, again, game's really fast out there. And if you're just off a little bit and not, you know, dialed in and feeling the way you should be and confident, it's really, really hard. And I just think he's found himself in that. I think he's got himself in a bit of a blender and now trade talks. And I'm sure he's hearing from his agent and other teams and player, like the whole thing. So, so you're right. That's the one, that's the biggest one, really. That's the biggest one. Again, you go term wise, the two guys you mentioned, Coyle and Carlo, you'd have to get a lot for Brandon Carlo from my point of view. He's still got 2 years left after this year at $4 million. I mean, it's so cheap. It's so cheap. It's going to be in 26, 27. He's basically like going to be under the median of salaries in the National Hockey League. And with a big guy, the He's only 28 still, too, right? He should be still priming at some point. And we talked about his leadership. I think he's just so valuable in the room. You'd have to get a lot. You'd have to get a lot, and you'd have to get a lot for Charlie Coyle as well. Even though he's only got 1 year left, his leadership ability, he's the one that answers every day. He's the one that goes out there. He's quiet, but he's been here a long time now, and he's helping with that leadership core. So, again, don't get me wrong. If all of these guys are going to garner you a first-round pick and two prospects and a roster player, then, yeah, have at it. But it might be, you know, I don't know what the market is. We haven't seen the market break really yet for that kind of a player, and that's what we have to kind of wait for as well, right?
Right. It's like we've seen a Miko Rantanen trade.
Correct.
And a JT Miller trade. And, like, that's right. Those are just a completely different category of trades. So, yeah, you're right. And, you know, along those same lines, like, it feels like it's been busy because there's been two blockbusters, but most contenders haven't made their move yet.
That's right.
Like, that they're still waiting things out, seeing what happens. So, yeah, you're right. Like, we don't know. You know, we could see all of a sudden more teams decide to sell than we think, and prices actually aren't that crazy. Or more teams decide they're in it, and the number of sellers is low, and now maybe you do get more than what you're anticipating. Maybe you do get that return for Carlo or Coyle where you're like, well, yeah, I do like them. I like their leadership, but man, I can't pass that up.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's where, you know, again, we all like, you know, every boomer loves their house, right? It's the market dictates.
They're the only ones that have them.
Yeah, well, that's why I said boomers and not people of our age.
No.
The boomers all have them, and they're not really willing to sell them. Again, it's the market does depend, and that's why next week's show and certainly the week after we will the market should start showing itself. Right now, to your we don't know. Like, do the Dallas Stars really want to give up first rounders this year? Do the Vegas Golden Knights are they really chasing
it? They made the move for Mikhail Granlund and Cody Ceci.
Yeah. Like, so they might be out,
yeah.
Right? Like, for a Carlo, they might be out. And that would be a team where you're like, oh, they're going to want the depth. Because, again, you're going to want to move a guy like that to the West, too. That's where, like, the guys that are on deals, you have to get them away from here. So that shrinkens or small, you know, makes the pool a lot smaller who you're dealing with as well.
It, to me, looks like the East, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of sellers in the East. Just looking at the playoff race, and I mean, all these teams have to decide whether or not they're.
Well, I'd also question the buyers in the East. Like, does Toronto? Like, are you so comfortable and so confident that you're not going to beat the Carolina Hurricanes because they added Rantanen? I don't think that they feel that way. And on the flip, so someone's got to go big in the East as well for all the other teams to go big. Like, Washington's not going to make moves. They're happy. They've done their they've done their work. They've laid the groundwork with young guys. They're not going to now flip prospects or flip young guys to get an older guy like that. They've decided that this is their path. Like, they might add an older guy. They might add somebody, but it's not going to be for a first round pick.
No, and it's like too many cooks in the kitchen sometimes when you already
Correct.
Have something that's working. And the Bruins got into that when they traded with Washington two deadlines ago and added guys that, you know, they didn't necessarily know exactly where they were going to fit. Like, Bertuzzi kind of got moved around, and then it kind of felt like they messed with their chemistry, and Montgomery liked to change the lines maybe too often. But
Vegas last year, right? Everyone says Vegas won the deadline because they went out, they got Tomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin, and they're out in the first round. Like, it just didn't click. Like, they just didn't end up being the right mix.
And Scott, the Capitals also are going to probably add Ryan Leonard at the end of the college season as well. So that kind of counts as a trade deadline acquisition.
Here's BC Jacob.
There it is.
But I mean, it is legit. Like, Ryan Leonard's going to make an impact late in the regular season and into the playoffs. So, yeah, that is a card up their sleeve that a lot of these other teams don't have. Let's go to the phones and start, of course, with Maria from Watertown, who has a Four Nations thought.
Just before Maria goes, just, like, how funny is this phone call sheet? Like,
I know,
it's so funny. It's so perfect.
That,
like,
calls.
Just take a picture of that, and that is what we're dealing with right now. Anyways, go ahead, Maria. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, No, that's okay. Am I in whatever bucket you're putting me
in?
No, we've
got a bunch of people calling, and there's a few other calls after you. So
yeah.
you're good.
I just wanted, you know, the irony of Austin Matthews not being able to seal the deal at the TD Garden and Jordan Binnington being able to seal the deal. It just seemed like to me, I felt like I just got whacked in the face watching that game the other night. But I did want to touch quickly on the trade deadline conversation. And I'm not married to anybody on this team right now. If the Bruins are seriously looking at a retool, then I would like management to identify clearly who the core of their team is moving forward. And for me, that would include Jeremy Swayman, David Pastrnak. I don't want Brad Marchand traded. And if the Charlie McAvoy, who played those two games for Team USA, can play that game consistently, I'm putting him in that core as well. But I do agree that there is some type of retool that needs to occur, because this season reminds me too eerily and too sadly of the 2015-16 season, where it came down to the last game of the season and the Bruins controlled their own destiny and they were unable to finish and win that game. And this team reminds me so much of that same team. It's just what I see on the ice. You folks spend a heck of a lot more time doing what you do and watching these guys, but I'm just being realistic in that. To me, I find it hard to imagine that they are going to be in the playoffs and be a strong enough team to sustain a playoff run. Thanks for the time, as always.
All right. Thanks, Maria. Yeah, and, you know, the team was in a different spot in, like, 2015-16, sort of the last. Like, that team missed the playoffs in 2014-15. That's when you have the change of the GM. And then 15-16 was, like, sort of the start of trying to build back up. And they kind of did, like, a small buy at the deadline. Because I felt like, you know, it was worth giving that team something as they tried to get back to the playoffs. This year to me feels more like the 2014-15, like the start of it, where it's like, all right, you tried to keep it going as long as you could, you tried to keep the window open as long as you could, and like, now it's time for the reset. And then I view next season as the start of building back up. Like, they didn't go into this year planning for it to be a down year or a reset year. They thought they were building on a team that went to the second round. They thought they had gotten better. They thought they were building closer to a cup contender. And, you know, we can go into like Elias Lindholm, Nikita Zadorov signings. Like, obviously it just hasn't happened. So we do have to catch a break here. I see Mark and Jim on the phones. Should we
put them on at the same time and let them argue with each other?
Yeah, so, yeah, they have some contradicting takes, so we will get to that next. But right back here on Sunday Skate. Welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Grayson, Ray Croft, and Bridget Drew. You can call in 617-779-7937. Text us at the same number. And we're going to go right to the phones here in this segment, starting with Mark from Medford, who has a thought on this Bruins season. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Yep.
So, you know what? I'm at the point now with this season to just come right out and say what it is, and that's a bust. So to see them try to make moves at the deadline for a playoff push would just be a waste of time. There's way too many holes in this team to fill that one or two guys you get at the trade deadline are going to fix. I watch this team for every night, every game in, game out, making the same mistakes over and over and over again. No power play, poor defense, poor zone protection, poor breakouts. It's just beyond one or two guys at the deadline to make a move. I say just play it out, blow it up, start from scratch. And the problem, guys, I'm sorry, begins at the top. It may be time for Sweeney to go elsewhere and, you know, get someone else to run this team and possibly another coach.
But when you
that's just my opinion.
When you say blow it up, do you mean like key players off the team, like McAvoy, Pastrnak, or do you just mean, you know, get rid of some guys that are underperforming?
Well, in a way, I agree with Maria that I'm not married to anybody on this team either, except for one player, and that's David Pastrnak. He shows that now he's actually playing like, okay, before it's like, well, I don't want to play with this one on this line or this one on that line, but now he put that behind him, and he's actually playing like the David Pastrnak we know. But other than that, like guys like Charlie McAvoy, you know, when we first signed this kid, we all said, oh, he's going to be the heir apparent to Zdeno Chara. That's all I heard when we were signing this kid. And let me be honest, guys. This guy's already reached his ceiling. This is Charlie McAvoy. This is what we're going to get from Charlie McAvoy. And that's it. You don't agree with that?
So I don't, but I want to, thanks for the call, Mark. Before we respond, I want to immediately go to Jim in the car, who has maybe a different take. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good show, guys. Before I get to my point, Reza, if that's goalie interference last night, the NHL's in big, serious trouble.
Oh, you and I are on the same page with that one, Jim. We were absolutely Tuukka was saying that. All the goalies were saying that. I mean, the fact that he called that goalie interference on the ice, I'm concerned about what the playoffs are going to look like. But yes, you're off to a great start, Jim.
Good. I should hang up. So listen. Razor, somebody said it earlier, we are 1 point out of the playoffs, so let's start there. And when the previous caller, Mark, just said, let's blow it up, right? Couldn't give an example. Like, he brings up McAvoy. Of course, he has a no-trade contract. Pastor, you can't trade him. You could trade Marchand, but what would you get back in return? And that would just send a clear message to the team that this season's over and here's the white flag, right? I think we just need to get hot. I think success breeds success. And Reza, my real point is this, right? I believe in Swayman. Clearly we made a decision. He was the go-to guy this year. You've seen over the years, think Tim Thomas, a goalie gets hot, they carry the team. Am I naive to think that Swayman has the ability to get hot, carry this team for the playoff push, and then into the playoffs?
No, I'm more down on your street than most other streets, Jim, and I think that is a piece of this. I think, again, goalies are beholden to the circumstance in front of them at different times, and I think last night's a pretty good example. Like, Swayman was really good last night. You're not going to really fault him on the goals. There wasn't a save. There wasn't a timely save that he could have made. Goals go in when you make poor decisions out there. But no question, you have if you're lining yourself up against the other teams that you're competing with for this playoff spot, Detroit, Columbus, you're saying we have much better goaltending and we should have much better defense if our guys come back healthy, that we can find a way to get that extra win or that extra two wins that'll get us into the playoffs. There is a lot on Swayman here, and he is going to have to steal a few games. That's what starting goalies are supposed to do, and that's how streaks continue or streaks get going in the NHL is stealing a game or two.
Jim says,
yeah, my last point, this team was, what are we, 2 years away from having one of the best seasons ever? We have a great core of talent. You know, we just haven't played our best hockey. I think we were about to. I'm an optimist. Don't give up on the Bruins.
All right, thanks, Jim. So, well, first off, you did lose a lot of that core from 2 years ago. I mean, you had Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, Taylor Hall. Like, you did lose a lot of that team. So, yeah, there's still some leftovers, but there's been a lot of turnover since then. Secondly, so this is kind of what I was getting at earlier in the show, is really the only thing you can cling to for this team to think they're going to do anything is Jeremy Swayman just gets hot and steals you playoff series. Now, he did that last year. He was the single biggest reason why you beat Toronto in the first round. So, it's encouraging that you know he can do it. Now, this has not been a great season for him. I think he's looked great at times, particularly coming out of the Christmas break. I thought he had a really strong run there. But yeah, obviously he was playing catch up after missing all training camp. You know, I still don't know if he's like completely back. I still feel like there's some inconsistency there that I would like to not see from Swayman. But again, even if that's what you're clinging to is, well, he can steal us a series or he can be a goaltending advantage. What's the ultimate upside? Because you lost in the second round last year because you ran into a team that was just better than you. And I think that same thing would happen again. Like, whether it's the first or second round, you would just run into a team that's clearly better than you that even goaltending isn't going to carry you past.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe. Things crazy happen in the NHL, right? That's the 98%, right? Or the 95%, whatever, whoever does percentages or analytics. Now, and I don't think anyone is under, like, there's nobody saying that Don Sweeney is going to trade their 5 draft picks next season, or like this summer, for players, right? Like, I don't think anyone really thinks that he's going to go all in like he did for Bertuzzi and Hathaway and all those players. Like, they're not in that situation, but it does, like, the sport is so unpredictable that to say they can't, like, they're not going to go on a run, so don't even try. Like, that is, like, that's, like, and I don't mean, like, try, like, give up first-round picks, but why wouldn't you want to get in the playoffs? Even, like, it was better for Washington to get in the playoffs last year and get stomped in 4 games than it was to beat Detroit and not get in.
That, like, that I agree with.
It is very, very different to be in or out in the National Hockey League, even if you might be a team that has absolutely no chance of making a run. So, I don't know. I just, like, when I hear that, I'm like, it's like, no, you want to try and get into the playoffs if you can. If you're this close, you want to get into the playoffs. That doesn't mean, and you said it at the top, Scott, there's two separate pieces of organizations that one has to look long term. That's what general managers do. And then there's the coaches and the coaching staff, and they have to kind of work together. But at this time of year, it's pretty two separate things. Again, I'm not saying that Don Sweeney is going to sell all of the draft picks this summer to try and get 2 players to make this team win a Stanley Cup. But if you could trade a draft pick at some point to get an NHL player with term that could help this team, not just in the next 25 games get into the playoffs, but also maybe with some term and could be better, that would be okay as well. Like, it's okay to trade prospects or draft picks for players that you think will make your NHL hockey team better over the next couple of years. Now, I don't think they're going to do it for just 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but there are opportunities and there are players and there have been deals made, like a Charlie Coyle, for Donato, who they knew had another year left, who they could sign after that. Like, there might be a player out there that they've looked at that could help them, not just now, but also a guy that they could extend over the summer that wants to be here. So, you know, I just wouldn't be too nonchalant about the fact that getting in the playoffs is a good thing. That's my only concern when I hear that.
Yeah, and Jim had, you know, the optimistic point of view of Swayman getting hot, which I don't disagree with. We know he can play better than he has, and we haven't seen his full potential yet this year, I don't think. So that's true. There's a ceiling that hasn't been reached with him that you could reasonably expect him to elevate his game as games get more important. But this is something we need to talk about in the next hour. I was also really optimistic because I thought their decor was getting healthy.
Yes.
And that was going to be a huge addition for them to have. And now there is a lot of questions about that with McAvoy and Lindholm. So we'll definitely get to that.
Yes. And we'll also get to some Four Nations. Hour 2 of Sunday Skate coming up. You can call in 617-779-7937. We'll be back after this break.